I invite you to open your Bibles to Psalm 62 this morning. Psalm 62. As you're turning there, I want to tell you about a study that I read about. Dr. Harold Wolf interviewed and did a study about 25,000 former prisoners of war during World War II who survived. And he said in this study that in spite of some terrible conditions, some inhumane situations, some gross mistreatment and terrible living conditions, that some of these seemed to be unaffected by these things, these difficult things. And when he went back and studied them, he found the one common denominator between these people who had survived and still were doing well. And he said the difference was that these people had a high degree of hope. They had hope. And that's what enabled them to survive. His conclusion, as he stated it, when a man has hope, he's capable of incredible in burdens and cruel punishment. He can handle almost anything when he's got hope. But my question for us this morning is, what do you do when the situation seems hopeless? And I'm mindful of some situations that some of our own church families have experienced recently. Where do you go and where do you find hope when you're at the end of your rope? When the matter seems hopeless, where can we turn? I've been studying Psalm 62, which I could have selected many different psalms, but in this psalm, I believe the psalmist David was experiencing a very difficult situation. Some suggest that it was when his own son Absalom had rebelled against him and sought to take his throne away from him. In verses 3 and 4, it seems that he may be speaking of himself. When he writes these words, how long will you attack a man? All of you like a leaning wall and a tottering fence. And it seems that he's that leaning wall, that tottering fence. And he's saying, why are you against me? And in this psalm, we see where David looked for and placed his hope when he was at the end of his rope, if you will. And the key to this psalm is in verse 5. Where he writes, find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. And with that key passage in mind, I'd like for us to consider this psalm together. But the question is, where do we get our hope? In what do we place our hope? And it's vital that we place our hope in something that's reliable. I read this quote this week. Somebody said, nothing builds more false hope than the first day of a new diet. But it reminds us that we do place our hope in many different things that aren't reliable. We must place our hope in something that lasts, something that's reliable. David says, he's speaking to himself, find rest, O my soul, in God alone, my hope comes from Him. How do we do that? How do we look to God for our hope? Well, let's listen to David as he writes this psalm in his difficult situation, see how he works through it and finds hope. Number one, we need to lean on God for stability. Lean on God for stability. Verse 1, my soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. He repeats this in verse 6. You see, when we're going through a difficult time, when a crisis enters our lives, our first response so many times is to panic or to try to run, to try to escape from it. That's why in public buildings, all doors must face outward, because when people panic, they tend to flee, to run. But we're reminded in these times, in these difficult times and times of crisis, we need some stability in our lives. We need something to stabilize us. We need a rock. And the psalmist says, my rock, he alone, God alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. And we can have that same assurance that God is there and that he is a rock. And by him and through him and upon him, we can find stability when things are hectic around us. I've read that in some of the South Sea Islands, when they have a typhoon or a hurricane, that some of the natives will, learning from past generations, will strap themselves to a palm tree. And they do this so that they can be able to withstand and tie themselves to something that is secure so they won't be blown away by the winds. They may lose their homes, they may lose everything, but if they can stay tied to this firm foundation, they can endure the storm. Sometimes we may feel like that with the tribulations that we experience in life, like we're going through, sometimes literally, as you know, a hurricane. Sometimes the storm is of a different nature than that. David's counsel is, tie yourself to God. Hang on to the rock, and he will give you the stability that you need. Jesus said this, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. You'll remember Jesus goes on to describe the foolish man who hears and does not do his will. And he builds his house on the sand, and the rains come, the floods come, and the winds blow and beat on that house and it falls because it was built on the wrong foundation. But the point is, storms will come into our lives. But if we build our lives on the rock of Jesus and his will, then he's assured us we will survive. Years ago, during the time when there was these sailing vessels, these large ships that would sail back and forth across the Atlantic. I read about a young sailor on his first ship, and he was told to climb the mast during the stormy weather and to set the sails. And as he was climbing up, he made a fatal mistake. He looked down from that height, and he saw the waves, and he saw the ship that was being tossed by the wind and the waves. And he began to lose his balance and was about to fall when an older, experienced, wise sailor shouted up to him, look up, son, look up. And when he looked up, the young sailor was able to regain his balance. And this wise counsel saved his life. When the winds are blowing, the floods are coming, we need to look up. Because it's by looking up to God and leaning upon him that we regain our balance. We can find that stability that we need. But that's not all the psalmist says. Not only lean on God for stability, but look up to God for salvation. Look up to God for salvation. Same verses, verses 1 and 2. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. The word salvation is used several times in this psalm. What does salvation mean? It means deliverance. It means to be released. It means to be set free from something. God is my salvation, he says. He is my deliverer. He's not only the stable rock upon which we may find stability, he's the Savior who will eventually deliver us. And that means that in this current situation, as difficult as it may be, it cannot defeat us if we will trust in him. And ultimately, his promise is that he will deliver us from all of our trials. It may not be in this life, but he has assured us it will definitely happen when he takes us home to heaven. I call it the long view, and it's the long view that Paul would advocate and would instruct. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. He says, in this life we have our sufferings, we go through these trials, but it's nothing compared to the glory which shall be revealed. In 2 Corinthians 4, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. He's taking the long view. He's saying as difficult as it is in our lives, when we're afflicted, when we're going through some adverse circumstances, take the long view. Look to God and realize eventually He will deliver us. We need to look to God for our salvation. Thirdly, we need to lean on God for strength. Lean on God for strength. Verse 7 of Psalm 62, "In God is my salvation and my glory," or honor. "The rock of my strength, my mighty rock," he says, "and my refuge is in God." The rock of my strength. We need to lean on God for strength. Remember this statement. Sometimes God calms the storm. Sometimes He lets the storm rage and calms His child. If God doesn't deliver us from this trial that we're going through, but eventually He will. But until that time, He has assured us that He will give us the strength to endure. We need to lean upon Him for strength. Look to the last two verses of Psalm 62. "God, one thing God has spoken, two things have I heard, that You, God, are strong, and that You, O Lord, are loving. Surely You will reward each according to what he has done." Two things said about God. Number one, He's powerful. He is strong. In other words, there's no problem that's too big for Him. And that's good news for us because He can help us to endure. But He's not just powerful. He's not just strong. He's also loving. He cares about us. And He knows about our situation. And He cares enough to do something about it. So if He is strong and can solve any problem, if He's loving and He cares about it, He can do something. But we must trust Him completely and His plan for the future. How do you keep on keeping on when you're at the end of the rope? Where do you get the strength? Where do you get the power that keeps you going when the temptation is to give up? The psalmist says you put your hope in God. You lean on Him for strength. But also in this psalm, I want us to see that there is rest for the weary. Perhaps you've heard it said or said yourself, "No rest for the weary." But the psalmist corrects us in that. He says there is rest for the weary. If anyone was ever weary, I think David was. Apparently he's grown weary from the constant assaults of his enemy. And again, he seems to be speaking of himself in verse 3. "How long will you assault a man? Would all of you throw him down this leaning wall, this tottering fence? They only consult to cast him down from his high position," verse 4. "They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly." He seems to be speaking of those that he knew that they may say with their mouths that they're on his side, but then they're cursing him inwardly. And they're lying about him to others. They're against him and they want him to fall. And the psalmist is saying, why are you attacking me? I'm nothing but a leaning wall and a tottering fence. But in the midst of his weariness, he makes this choice. He reminds himself, "Find rest, O my soul, in God alone." My hope comes from Him. He finds his rest in God. Using the letters of the word rest, notice how we can have rest even when we're weary. First of all, rely on God in all circumstances. Rely on God in all circumstances. Verse 8. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. But notice, trust in Him how often? In all times. In all times. In those times when we see clearly the blessings of God in our lives, but even in those times when He appears to be silent, when we can't see what God is doing in our lives and we can't understand where God is in those difficult times, the psalmist encourages us, rely on Him all of the time. Why? Because he would say, He is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. He is my mighty rock. He's that strong, firm foundation upon which we can find stability and find strength. You see, sometimes from our own knowledge, our own understanding, things don't make sense. But I'm reminded of the proverb, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Sometimes we can't make sense of what's happening. The psalmist says we can still have rest if we rely on God all the time. Secondly, we can have rest if we'll earnestly call on God in times of trouble. Notice that verse 8 again. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to Him. Pour out your soul to Him. Other versions state it like this. Tell Him all of your troubles. One version says, always tell Him each one of your concerns. Peter would say, cast your care on Him, for He cares for you. But you can pour it out to Him. Once again, we find relying on God is foundational. But in times of trouble, the psalmist says we can earnestly call upon Him. We can pour out our soul before Him. Think about Hannah. Think about Hannah. She's unable to have children. And to make matters worse, her husband has another wife as well. And she is able to have children. And this other wife constantly reminds Hannah that she's able to have children and Hannah is not. And this troubles her. And one year when the family went to Shiloh, we read in 1 Samuel 1, to offer sacrifices to God in the tabernacle, Hannah's praying fervently. 1 Samuel 1 verse 10 says, in bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she was crying out to God and she's praying in her heart and her lips are even moving, but no sound is coming forth. To the point where Eli, so it says in verse 13, as Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Eli, the priest, thought she was drunk. And so he confronts her about it. She says, oh no. And listen to her words. No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Poured out my soul. Requesting that God would bless her with children? Absolutely. I wonder if she poured out her soul and said, why, God? Why not? Why can't I? You see, God is big enough to handle our questions. He's big enough to handle our bitterness. He's big enough to handle our complaints. The psalmist says, if you really want to find rest, you need to pour out your soul before God. Jonah was another. You remember his story in the book of Jonah. How God told him to go to Nineveh and preach to them that they might repent. Instead, he went the other direction. And God caused the ship, he caused a storm, and he caused Jonah to be swallowed up by a great fish. And apparently in the belly of this great fish, Jonah says, "When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you and to your holy temple. When I had lost all hope," he is saying, "I once again turned my thoughts to the Lord." That's what we need to do. When we're at the end of our rope, we see no hope, we need to turn our thoughts to God and pour out our souls before Him. Nahum the prophet wrote, "The Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in Him." So earnestly call out to God in times of trouble. But then also set your heart on God. Set your heart on God. Psalm 62 verses 5 and 6. "Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken." And he's already, if he's describing himself in verses 3 and 4, he's reminding us we can't put our trust in ourselves. We're like leaning walls and tottering fences. We don't have the resources in the big challenges of life to handle things on our own. We got to put our trust in God and set our heart on Him. He would go on to say in this psalm, we can't always put our trust in people. Verse 9, "Surely men of low degree are a vapor, men of high degree are a lie. If they are weighed in the balances, they are altogether lighter than vapor." Putting your trust in people is putting your trust in those who are lighter than a puff of air. People can help, but people make mistakes. People are fallible. They can't always help us. We can't put our trust in possessions. "Do not trust in oppression," verse 10, "nor vainly hope in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart on them." Because riches are uncertain, possessions are uncertain, circumstances are uncertain. Psalmist says, where do you put your hope? And where we shouldn't put our hope. But he says we need to set our heart on God alone. And then finally, we need to trust in God's reward. Trust in God's reward. When we're going through a difficult situation, it's hard to see past it. It's hard to look into the future. But be reminded, He is not only our rock of stability, our rock of strength. He is our refuge and our rewarder if we'll just stay true to Him. I remind you the last two verses again. "One thing God has spoken, two things I have heard, that you, O God, are strong and that you, O Lord, are loving. Surely you will reward each person according to what he has done." Trust in God's reward. Trust that He will deliver us eventually. So as the psalmist is going through a difficult time, he makes this choice. He reminds himself, "Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him." You see, when we're at the end of our rope, there are choices that we must make. And the psalmist is teaching us, choose to rely on God in all circumstances. Make the choice to earnestly call on God in times of trouble. Pour out your soul before Him. Make that choice to set your heart on God, because He's the only one that is truly reliable and faithful. And then choose to trust in God's reward, even if you can't see it at the moment. And if we choose wisely, will discover that there really is rest for the weary. You may be going through a storm right now. And if so, I hope that you find comfort and strength from the psalmist. But know that God is there. He is here. He is that rock upon which you can rely. And He is the Savior that will ultimately deliver us. His amen to those promises is the gift of His Son Jesus, who came and experienced life with us and then went to the cross on our behalf to pay the price for our sins that separate us from God, that through Him we might be reconciled to Him and have salvation and look forward to an eternal home in heaven. That's His amen to all of His promises, if we'll just surrender our lives in obedience to His will. It may be your desire this morning to do just that, to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, as a penitent believer, to be baptized into Christ so that your sins can be washed away, so that you can become a child of God. It may be that you need the prayers of the church on your behalf as you're going through these struggles, or if you need to get back on track. If that be the case, won't you let that be known right now as we stand and sing.